Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Markwitz. We are your hosts for this Christmas Eve edition of the KE Report weekend show. We were recording editorials throughout the week, covering what was a bit of a volatile week, but again, shortened trading week and lower volume. So I guess it is to be expected, a little bit higher volatility. Fact of the matter is, though, I don't think we've seen any major changes in direction. Not that anyone was really expecting that through this week. It's always a good time to kind of recap the year and look ahead to next year, as next week is also going to be a bit of a slower week. To kick off this show, we are chatting with personally one of my favorite guests that we've had on throughout the year, Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, that is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail and individual side of things, Rick writes in the No Trader, as well as 7-Eleven, where Rick picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to simply beat the S&P. And Rick, you've had a good year so far, beating the S&P, even as the S&P has continued to move down. Let's start off with the U.S. equity markets, because the markets went through about a two-month-long rally, bottoming at the very beginning of October, rallying through the tail end of November, early part of December, and then topping out pretty much right, I guess, in line with this general downtrend that the markets have been in. Rick, that rally, it looks like it's over. Should we be expecting markets to again continue down as we head into the new year?
Hi guys, I think that between now and year's end is not really important for two reasons. One is, yeah, there's a lot of people looking for a Santa Claus rally the last week of the year, and if it comes, could we get 100 S&P points? Yeah, it's possible. Beyond that, is it meaningful? I don't think so. Secondly, the last week of the year are really skeleton crews at Wall Street firms. Any portfolio manager who wanted to do something has basically done it or will do it by today's close. So I'm not really too into what's going to happen next week. But I think the most important thing is that the market topped as expected. It was actually CPI day. What was that? December 13th, when the better than expected CPI number came out. Futures were flying that morning. The Dow got up, 900, 1,000 points in pre-open trading in the futures markets. And that day, actually, CNBC quoted me because I put out a flash report to clients suggesting that morning's price action was going to make the top for the market, and it has done just that. We know that that day when the S&P, well, let's even say when the spiders opened up at 9:30 in the morning Eastern time, that was the high of the day, and then it sold off dramatically. What I had noticed and wrote in that flash note is that I highly anticipated that that move, that CPI day, December 13th, was virtually the inverse picture of what had been on the October CPI figure on October 13th, when, if you recall, futures had traded down 2% on the day after that number came out, and it ended up the market closed up 2% on the day, so we had a massive 4% swing. That day, I was looking for the same type thing to happen off of this December CPI figure, again, kind of failing in and around the neighborhood of the 200-day moving average, in and around the downtrend line from all-time highs. That line came from essentially the first day of the year. Other than a half hour or so that the market was up above that downtrend line in pre-open trading, where futures were well above the line, I had upside exhaustion signals, along with just understanding how markets work and the fact that this was very likely the inverse image of how the market bottomed in October to at least call the high. So right now the market, the S&P is kind of halfway in between that October low and the high we made on December 13th. There is some minor support here at 38.14 that we got beneath yesterday, but by the time the market closed, we're still, this is now, let's see, one, two, three, four. This is the fifth day in the last six, I think, that the S&P has virtually played with this 38.14 level and has not broken underneath it on a closing basis. And so there is some support here. There's going to be resistance probably, I don't know, say something like 100 points higher or so. So next week, we can go either way. I'd say something like 39, 30-ish or so should be resistance at this point. But in the bigger picture, as we kind of go forward into next year, I am still a bear. You guys know, because we talk every month, I have sold every rally this year, almost right at the tip of the rally. And we keep having clients reduce their exposure on these rallies. And we've tactically sometimes bought the bottoms or near the bottoms. But more important to me is that they reduce exposure. And some of the strategists on the street who are looking for S&P 4500 and even higher next year, I don't think it's coming. I can't say I'm a huge bear, but I still rather be selling rallies than buying dips. And this has been kind of a great year to do both, because we've had lots of opportunities on both sides. And that's part of the reason, too, that when you were introducing me and talking about the 7-Eleven report and that I'm handily beating the market this year, our 7-Eleven report is fully invested in the stock market all the time. It's 100% invested 100% of the time. But what we do is we choose no more than 7 of the 11 sectors to be in each month. And by being in the right sectors at the right time and avoiding the underperforming sectors, we are, as of November 30th, we're outperforming the S&P this year by 5.46%, virtually 5.5%. In a difficult year for most portfolio managers, and we do that because we're able to combine both my 40-plus years of experience in playing this game, along with input from a quant model that kind of acts as a checks and balance system. And it, between the two, we pick what sectors are likely to outperform going forward. The track record on the 7-Eleven report since we started it on August 1st, 2020, is that we are outperforming by 11.64% in 28 months through November 30th. So, you know, when I throw this all into the mix of what's going on, I still think that earnings numbers, even though they've come down, need to come down further. I do think the S&P likely makes a new low in the first quarter of next year. And then beyond that, I'm not sure how bad things get, but I see a better chance of getting into the low 3,000s from, let's say, the current 3850 level. So if I had to pick, like, the next 600 points, I'd say it's down and not up. And therefore, I'm still going to use rallies to sell into and kind of use the models we do to define at what time and place we're going to sell into those rallies.
All right, Rick, that brings us to the end of this first segment, but we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
from our family to yours. Have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, just as a note, everyone listening on the radio, because of time restrictions, we did have to cut down these segments. We chat with Rick for a good 30, almost 40 minutes. We can only fit about 18 minutes in these segments. So what you're going to hear in this next segment is when we switch focus outside of the U.S. markets to some of the other markets, including the bond market. We also talk currencies and metals. But again, we can't fit all of this on the radio. To listen to the full segment, please come over and visit our website, kereport.com. That's where you'll just click on the weekend show posting to listen to the full interview. We're going to pick it back up as we switch focus now to the bond market. Let's take a look to some of the other markets. The bond market, that's a real standout from this year, too, because of just how much rates have gone higher. The 10-year started the year right around, let's say, 1.5%, and we're all the way up to almost 4% right now, and we did make the break almost to 4.5% earlier this year. When it comes to bonds, do you see yields remaining elevated here? Almost a new world that we are in.
To me, as long as the U.S. 10-year stays above the low 3.4% level, there's no, I'm not going to cut it down to the absolute basis point, but over the last few weeks, on three different days, we got down between 3.43 and 3.4% and have bounced. And as long as that low stays in place, then I actually think rates are going to go a little bit higher here, maybe get up to like 3.85 or so. They're currently 3.75. So we've moved up 30 bips off of last week's low or 2 weeks ago low. I don't remember the exact. It was probably December 13th. So it very well could have been last week that we made the low in yields. So I think we're getting a bounce here. We run out of steam somewhere in the mid 3.8s. And I'd probably lean into that rally and thinking in rate terms. So in other words, if we got near 3.85, I would be buying bonds with the potentiality that 3.4 level does break at some point in the first quarter next year. And it's the move down in yields that I would anticipate would not likely be from It's not Fed-induced, or it's not people thinking the Fed has it wrong. I think it would be more towards a flight to safety, which we've not seen a heck of a lot of this year, right? Look how much yields have moved up with how much stocks have moved down. But I do think at the latter portion, if we do kind of get a swoon in stock prices and things just start falling quickly, I could see a flight to safety that then pushes us beneath 3.4%. And then you have the chance to get in the first quarter all the way down to, let's say, 2.8%, something like that, in which case then I'd be selling bonds at 2.8, looking for yields to come back up. But it wouldn't surprise me if you get one move that shakes out to the downside where yields come down and bond prices go up.
Well, Rick, just speaking of a flight to safety, a lot of investors this year did not flood to bonds. Bonds actually underperformed the markets. We haven't seen that in decades, but they did flood into one thing, and that's the greenback. They flooded it into the U.S. dollar, and the dollar had an epic move all year long, getting up over 114. I think 114.70 was the high. But over the last few months, it's pulled back, and most of that was in relation to other currencies starting to gain on the dollar for the first time in a while. We saw the pound finally rally when the Bank of England stepped in. We saw the yen rally several times as the Bank of Japan has stepped in. How are you looking at the dollar? Because it's been a counterbalance to the rest of the markets all year long, and it's provided a little bit of a tailwind the last few months as it's rolled over. How do you see it setting up for 2023?
So we got out of our dollar longs at 112.63. And since then, I haven't done that much in the dollar. I had one or two just tactical trades. But 112.63 is where we took our long-term dollar bullish bet off. And what I'm seeing now is that anywhere from I'd expect the bottom to come between 104 and 101, and we're trading right now just barely north of 104. I think somewhere down in this level is as low as the dollar is likely going to get. Now, still from 104, if we got to 101, that's, you know, a 3% move, and a 3% move is a decent move in a over a short-term basis. But I think when I look at the bulk of what's going on and the fact that short-term rates are still, as the Fed has told us, you know, likely going to 5%, if not higher, I don't think you count out the dollar on a longer-term basis. And I think one look to put positions back on bullishly for the dollar itself, or the implications of a dollar rally coming from where I suggest to, you know, affect other types of securities that have high correlation or high inverse correlation to the dollar. So to me, it is important to understand the dollar and its movement, because it has been virtually the single biggest impetus to why stocks were off this year. When looking at, you know, the dollar went straight up until the fall, went sideways for 2 months, and then in November kind of made its last high before falling. If you have a handle on what the dollar's doing, you probably have a decent handle on what stocks are going to do. So the dollar is still kind of king right now in leading price and understanding what's going on. And I'm not quite ready yet to say that it's bottomed, but we have gotten to the point where I've told my clients it's certainly too late to be a seller. And yes, there could be a few percent here left, but the risk reward to putting on dollar shorts now, to first putting on dollar shorts at, let's say, 104, does not pan out. And as a trading strategist, to me, it's very important to understand what your reward is, what your potential reward is versus what your risk is. And down here, the reward to putting on a short is not, you know, a new short in the dollar at 104 is just not worth it. I think we're closer to a bottom. So I'm going to be looking for a spike down or something, preferably in between 103 and 101, to call a bottom in the dollar.
Okay. Hey, Rick, we're going to wrap it up here. We've covered all the markets we wanted to get to. Thank you so much for your outlook, and thank you for spending all the time that you did throughout this year with us. You're a very, very valuable contributor, and I follow very closely to all of your outlooks. And again, congratulations on the consistent outperformance to the S&P. I will post a link to Rick's website where you can find out more about his retail and individual side newsletters. And if you want any, or if you have any questions for Rick, you can always email us directly. Rick, again, thank you so much for your time. Very happy holidays. Happy New Year. I look forward to chatting with you throughout 2023.
Same to you, Corey and Chad. It's been a pleasure, and happy and healthy New Year.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
U.S.
USA News update. More than 175 million people in the U.S. remain under wind chill alerts today. The coldest wind chills this morning remain across the Midwest, where temperatures are feeling like minus 20 to minus 30 degrees. The storm disrupting airlines for the last 3 days.
Just before Christmas Eve, Southwest Airlines delayed almost half of its flights nationwide. Alaska Airlines canceling almost 60%. Seattle-Tacoma International has seen almost 60% of their flights in and out of the airport canceled, with Denver International seeing about 40% of all flights delayed, all because of a winter storm like no other. I'm Dave Collins.
There's a major shortage of snowplow drivers throughout the USA, and McDonald's testing a new restaurant in Texas where you order through a kiosk or an app and a conveyor belt delivers your food to a window. Corey Myers, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to stick to looking at some of the charts, but a bit more focused on the precious metals, as well as probably dive into the U.S. dollar, as we are now focusing the last two segments with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor, also senior editor at the Gold Eagle website. Now, Christopher, we are recording this on Tuesday, actually, so earlier on in the week, but I do want to take a more big picture look at the precious metals, the way they're setting up, and it looks like, at least, the way they're going to close this year. One thing to consider, though, because we already have seen some volatility this week, which does surprise some people, simply because it's a shortened trading week. Right before Christmas, a lot of people are away, and we generally see lower volume. So sometimes volatility does catch people off guard, especially those that are watching the market, not so much those that are away, taking a break from the markets. Let's start off with the volatility and the moves that you see during this week and next week, both shortened trading weeks. What matters to you? What do you discount in terms of these moves? How do you view the tail end of the year trading?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and thanks, Chad, for having me back on the show. Hello to all the listeners. And what I would like to say is the backdrop for gold here has changed quite dramatically within the last 2 months. The situation for gold from a technical basis, which is how I approach this market, because we all know that gold can move lower despite positive fundamentals. You know, you can have negative interest rates and bailouts and everything going on under the sun, but gold can still move lower. So I look to say, what are the valid trends? What are the levels where the buyers are actually demonstrated to be entering the market? And let's just align with the market itself. So that said, what we see here for gold is that there was a very important 4.5-year rising trend out of the August 2018 lows around $1,180 per ounce in U.S. dollar terms for gold that showed a threatening breakdown in August and September of this year. And gold was coming under pressure as the Fed was hiking rates, and it was uncertain, you know, how long it would be that they would be hiking in this campaign. And here, just over the last 2 months, I mean, and especially since the last time we spoke, gold has done something very impressive and very constructive from at least an intermediate term perspective on the charts, which is to recover that breakdown that manifested in August and September. And when you recover a breakdown, it turns it into essentially a false breakdown on the charts. And a false breakdown or a false move in any direction tends to be the backdrop for a counter move in the opposite direction of the false move, which can sometimes be quite dramatic. And so, you know, it's like the market tricks people in one direction and then reverses, and the reversal move can take a lot of people by surprise. So in this case, what is developing, at least as we are speaking right here in the second to last week of December, is a recovery of that 4.5-year rising trend for gold. And that is quite bullish as we are speaking here right now. And I'm pleased to see that. And I wouldn't be saying that unless I actually saw it on the charts according to our model. And so where gold is now as we get into the end of the year is in a situation where it needs to prove that this recovery is going to be for real by holding above the key figure, which is $1,780, 8-0. $1,780 in the spot market is that recovery of the former trend out of the 2018 lows. Now, right now, gold is trading just below $1,815 in the spot market. And so, you know, I am a little bit wary of calling a recovery solidified on an absolute basis, given these holiday short trading weeks. A lot of traders around the world, it's not just in the United States and Canada, but around the world, people tend to take off. I know I'm taking off some time over the next couple of weeks. We need to give this gold market through the first full trading week after the new year, through that first week after the new year. If gold can close, I mean, if gold can hold where it is now, but at the very minimum close above 1780, then that will solidify the recovery of that trend out of the 2018 lows. And so at this moment, I encourage investors to kind of take a step back, let gold prove itself to us throughout these holidays. And when we get back here into the first week of the new year, if we're talking about gold above 1800, this is an all systems go type of signal for the next, at least the next 18 months for gold that one would want to be positioned aggressively for the upside.
Well, Christopher, that's an encouraging holiday message for the precious metals bulls. Now, let's just say that gold does hold its own and holds above that 1780 support and gets into the new year. What is your trajectory from where it may go? You'd mentioned to us off mic kind of a three-wave system you're looking at. I'd love you to map that out for investors of where it could potentially head if it does hold its own into the new year.
Yeah. So if gold can hold here, what we are forecasting for 2023 and let's say the first part of 2024, so the next 18 months, should be a three-wave structure. After some consolidation here in the first quarter of 2023, the next functional move, having recovered that trend out of the 2018 lows, is going to be a third functional test of the all-time highs for gold. Now, the exact all-time highs in the spot market were 2075 and 2070 in August 2020 and then February of 2022, respectively. So when I say a functional third test of the all-time highs coming up, I actually believe we will not get exactly to those all-time highs, but somewhere approaching the $2,000 figure will do it as far as a functional test of that resistance zone. You know, the spikes above those, that 2,000 level did not last all that long on the previous attempts. So somewhere in that range of the upper 1900s to 2,000, late first quarter, early second quarter of 2023, we would then be looking at a failure. Markets typically do not break out on their third attempts, but they typically pull back, consolidate for a period of time. So we would see gold backing off second and third quarter of 2023, perhaps back down to 1900, perhaps back down to the mid-1800s or so into the middle of the year. And then it would be the fourth attempt for gold at the 2075 level that should be successful. We're talking basically late 2023, and then that move continuing into 2024. We would then have a measured target for gold, just as a forward-looking idea to keep in mind. Of course, this assumes that gold can hold here throughout the holidays above that 1780 figure. But, you know, just talking about where this market could go from a reasonable basis, it would be in the range of adding $400 onto the breakout point. And so we would be looking at gold in the range of $2,400 to $2,500 if we can talk about first half of 2024 as a reasonable target. But again, let's take this market in chunks. Let's watch for the relative strength here by holding above the key level throughout the holidays, and then we can look to see whether or not in the first quarter of 2023 we indeed do get that move up for the third challenge of the functional all-time highs.
All right, guys, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment, Christopher, so everyone stick around.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Here we are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Christopher Aaron. Now, Christopher, shifting focus a little bit to silver. Silver is closely watched because it is a bit more of a speculative metal compared to gold. Plus, silver also does seem to lead, or at least is more correlated to, the underlying gold and silver stocks. It wasn't long ago, just a couple months ago, actually, that silver was looking like it might break down into the $16 level. That was back in more October of this year, and now it's up near the $24, $25 level. Are you encouraged by silver's move? What has caught your eye here?
Yeah, I really am. The other thing that we are seeing is a breakdown in the gold to silver ratio as all of this is occurring, which is generally a positive signal for both metals. It's generally an inflationary signal when that ratio is moving lower. Right now, gold to silver ratio is at 75.5, and I have at least a measured target for that ratio of coming down to 67. It could come a lot lower than that over the following years. As you know, I just like to take things one step at a time and reassess after we get to the measured target. But turning back to the silver chart itself, gold is in the driver's seat still. Gold still is the one that needs to show itself, prove itself throughout these thinly traded holiday weeks here. We need to make sure that the bullion banks do not take the opportunity in the sort of thinly traded overnight hours on Christmas Eve and try to slam gold lower by $50 and set off a cascading waterfall type of move by leverage traders. Assuming that doesn't happen, and gold can hold here, and that then we get the next wave higher unfolding into the first quarter of 2023. What that's telling me for silver then is that it is going to break the primary downward structure that has existed for the last 2 years now. The key resistance to break the structure of the lower peaks as things stand now. The series of lower peaks is going to be $25.15. That'll break the trend of the lower peaks. You'll then have a pivot that needs to be broken right around $26.90. From there, I mean, there will be another pivot that happens at 30. Clearly, that representing some pivot highs from 2020 and 2021. But what I see as far as the big waves for silver that should be unfolding, assuming gold holds here where it needs to hold, is a primary move up to the $35 mark. 35 represents significant swing peaks going back from 2011. There were actually three peaks, October of 2011, back to February of 2012, and then once again September of 2012, three times that silver topped out plus or minus the $35 level. So we would look for that on the highest probability to represent a pivot point. So basically what I would see unfolding here is as gold makes its third functional challenge of the all-time highs, let's say in the first half of 2023, I would see silver breaking this downward structure, perhaps a pause and a brief retracement at the $30 level, but that this wave takes silver into the $35 region. So a new high for this move setting up. From 35, I would be looking for some sort of a significant retracement, maybe back down to 30, maybe even back down to 26 or so, you know, a good of enough retracement to scare a lot of the hot money that chases toward the top of the move. From there, I would look for silver to stabilize for plus or minus 1 to 3 months. And then really big picture outlook. I mean, if gold is going to make a new all-time high in late 2023 into 2024, we just back the silver chart way up, you know, and look at it from the generational perspective, you know, talk about the 45-year perspective. And then clearly this is the time when silver is targeting $50 once again, you know, as it did in 1980 and as it did in 2011. Is it going to blast through $50, you know, mid or late 2024? Again, I would say probably not immediately on that third attempt. I would look for something of a significant retracement from 50. You know, could we imagine coming from 50 all the way back down to 30, consolidating there for 18 months or so? And then we can talk about, hey, how healthy does this market look for a continuation move? But even in the move from, let's say here, let's say 24 back to 35, and then let's say a wave lower, and then the move from 30 back up to 50, a lot of the gold miners and the silver miners more closely track the price of silver. I think that has to do with kind of a psychological phenomenon where silver is considered a leveraged form of gold. And in a similar kind of way, the gold miners are considered a leveraged form of gold. And of course, then the silver miners are a leveraged form of both of those. But so I think even in the move from mid-20s to 35, and then the next wave, should we be correct? And this is the move that silver is going to make a third functional test of $50 silver. I mean, I think some of the moves that are going to occur here in the silver miners are going to be real wealth producing over the next 1 to 2 years. Again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's make sure gold can hold where it needs to here. There's a recovery that I want to see on the GDX itself. I want to see the GDX recover 31.5. That was key resistance dating back to 2016. That was served as key support for about 2 years. It did break down through that level in August, September of this year. It thus far has failed to recover that. So gold is in the leadership role here. I want to see GDX recover 31.5 sometime after the new year. We get those signals, and I think it's then all systems go on silver and all the silver miners.
All right, Christopher. Well, that would be a finally I told you so moment for a lot of the precious metals believers that have been in the market and quite frankly have suffered through a lot of other bull markets, but precious metals kind of left behind. It would be their term their time to finally run. Let's talk U.S. dollar then, because the turnaround in the U.S. dollar timed almost perfectly with the turnaround in the precious metals as well, and it's been a pretty substantial fall from almost that 115 level on the dollar index down to under 105 in a matter of 2 months-ish. How does the dollar play into this generally more optimistic look for the precious metals?
This is what I think is setting up. The dollar is going to rally over the next 3 months. There could be some sort of a worldwide currency crisis brewing. It could be relating to what's happening out of the Bank of Japan. Japan having to abandon its yield curve control for the short-term Japanese bonds and having to move the range that they will accept for yields higher. So you could be seeing a flight out of Japanese yen, flight out of Japanese assets into the U.S. dollar. Could be something brewing out of Europe, maybe some contagion with the war in Ukraine. Let's see. Let's wait for the fundamentals to fill themselves in. But I can tell you what I see on the charts, which is that there should be this inflow coming into the U.S. dollar here over the next 3 months. So if gold is going to be able to hold, it needs to do it in spite of the U.S. dollar rising. So what I can see happening here as a scenario, what the charts are telling me right now, is that if the dollar is going to indeed rise back up to 110, 115 here over the next few months, the move in gold should be a relative outperformance compared to some of the risk assets, compared to general stocks, you know, Dow, S&P 500, maybe compared to cryptocurrencies, compared to some of the industrial commodities. Gold should hold up on a relative basis. On a nominal basis, on an absolute basis, gold may simply move sideways here for the next 1 to 3 months. And in fact, nothing could be more constructive from a chart perspective.
All right, Christopher, thank you for breaking this down. A very straightforward outlook for next year, some levels to watch, and a bit of optimism for the precious metals investors. Boy, oh boy, what a different world, what a different market it would be for those investors next year, considering what everyone went through this year. And again, it's not the all clear yet, but it has been an encouraging end to the year, at least so far. Christopher, thank you for taking time on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on Christmas Eve. For everyone celebrating Christmas, a Merry Christmas to you tomorrow. Everyone else, happy holidays. We will be back with you next week in what undoubtedly will be a, well, shortened trading week, low volume, but who knows, we might see some volatility. Everyone, thanks again for tuning in. Have a great rest of your week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.